Be here. We enjoy coming here and getting fed, and I'm glad I get the chance to return the favor. Let's go to the presence of the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, God, we just thank you so much for who you are. We just praise your holy name. We ask you, Lord Jesus, fill my mouth and my mind with your words, Lord Jesus. May everything come out of my mouth be from you. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the presence of my brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the works you've set before us. We ask you to put a hand of blessing upon us tonight, and it's in your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So my message today can be found, there's actually two places in the Word, is in the third chapter of the book of Exodus. And when Pastor Barbara asked me to share, this is something that's been on my heart for a while. And I just appreciated this time to put it all together for me. And one of the things that has been on my heart is to share this with the body of Christ, mature believers like you guys, is the power, the honor, and I'll use some words, and I'll share scripture, and I'll share with why I put this together. But the idea of it, of being chosen by the Lord, of receiving a calling, of being elected, of receiving His anointing, and the one thing I've learned, and we've actually learned it here, is there's power in agreement. And one of the things I've learned is when I read the Word, and I can put it to my testimony, and they agree, there's power. And I can't explain exactly why. I just know it is. And I've also learned best. I learned the word best when I can look at an example in my life and it's like, that's exactly how it happened, when it happened, and how it's supposed to happen. And the power of agreement. So when I was preparing for this word, I looked at certain things. I looked at gifting, and we all are very familiar with the passages on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about gifting, the diversity of gifts, and how therefore the profit of the church, the lifting of us up, and also in Ephesians chapter 4, where the Lord gave us the ministries. And there's no distinction of, well, this one's better than the other. No, they're all for the edification of the church. They're all for lifting up. And everyone, one of the things it's been real clear to me is every believer has received a gifting. And the one thing I've learned is sometimes if you feel you have it, you just need to ask. And He's waiting to give you whatever for the benefit of His body. And I've also started looking into the word calling. And I've actually, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And then I started digging into that, and I started finding things in like 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. So there's passion behind it. And then I started reading Matthew, and it's like, this isn't a contradiction. It's just an interesting twist where it says, the Lord gave two parables, and He said, many are called, but few are chosen. And I started really digging into that word chosen. And it just kept coming back to me as, this is a privilege. And yes, it's a sacrifice, but it's such a blessing. We get blessed when we receive this calling. And I read in Jude where it says, those who are called, and he adds another word, sanctified and preserved. Those words, sanctified. Responsibility upon us and preserved, He's protecting us, and we just don't have, we can cast out all the fears, we can cast out all the worldly things that creep in to keep us from doing what we should be doing. And I dug into the Greek, but I'm not going to get into that, because one of the things I found when I was preparing for this was the power of agreement, and I'll explain that a little bit further. So if we could, let's go to, start in the second chapter of the book of Exodus. I think most of us are familiar with the beginning of Exodus, about how God's people were thrown in bondage by a king of Egypt, Pharaoh, who did not acknowledge Joseph and the power of the people of Israel. But there's some interesting things. What I'll also do is I want to share this, and I want to share a brief testimony at the end. So what I'd like to do is go to Exodus chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 11. And I'm reading from the New King James. And it says, Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, and he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Then Pharaoh heard of this matter. I'm sorry. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And one of the things that's really clear here, and which is the other thing, I mentioned the word agreement. One of the confidences we have in this word is the agreement within itself. There's actually a parallel passage in the book of Acts, chapter 7, that says almost, it literally says exactly the same thing. It says, "But when Moses was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as their own son. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in words and deeds. And now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God had delivered them by his hand. But they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them who were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, you are brethren. Why do you do wrong one another?' And the one who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'He who made you a ruler, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?'" And I read that just to point out, we have confidence that this is not a book. This is the Word of God. And just the power of agreement. And going back to the book of Exodus, and the reason, again, I read book of Acts is there's power in agreement. And in this passage in chapter 2, one of the things that we know from this chapter is that God will share his glory with no man. The flesh cannot glorify God. And one of the verses I had picked out was actually in Romans. I'm sorry, it's not right in front of me in my note, but God will share his glory with no flesh. And what's interesting here is, so we a little bit back up on history, God's people were enslaved. And it's just fascinating that I can say this today, God's people on this earth are enslaved to sin. And they're being held by this taskmaster, this Pharaoh, this Satan who wants to destroy them. And when we read here, we see Egypt had put God's people into bondage. And it wasn't for their benefit. It was to destroy them. And the same Satan is doing the same thing. And here we see a man in the flesh. He was raised as a prince. He was powerful. He was wise. He was well-learned. He was well-resourced. And when he went out in the flesh, he failed. And that's the one thing, if I could say it over and over to anyone entering the ministry, is you go out in the flesh, you will fail. And I've seen it in my own life, and none of us need to recreate it, because it is clear as can be. We go out in the flesh, we will fail. Satan is powerful, and he is not to be messed with in the flesh. But in the spirit, he can't touch us. There is so much power, protection, might by the hand of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here we see right here, Moses acted in the flesh, and what happened? He was shut down. He was shut down. And I like in the book of Acts where it says, he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they didn't understand. Well, in the flesh, ministry in the flesh will fail. And Moses took ministry into his hands, and he failed. And you see what happened was God, and I've seen this in my own life, and I've seen this in the lives of some of those powerful ministers, is God has to work out the flesh. He wants to use his people. The word says many are called, many are invited, but few are chosen. And I can't but look back and see that there's responsibility in the life of a minister, of a servant of God, to be in the Spirit, to be walking in the Spirit, to be in tune with the Spirit, to listen to God and to do what He wants and not do what our flesh wants to do. And our flesh wants to solve things the way the world solves things. In this case, Moses used violence, and he failed. And I'll go back and I'll touch some points in my own ministry where I've seen this, and this is real. And here we have Moses, a mighty prince, and it says here, and he sat down by a well. And I won't read the rest of the chapter 2, but I'll summarize it real quick. Moses had to flee for his life to Midian. And if you guys know the geography, Egypt is to the west. Midian is between the Promised Land and Egypt. And it is one of the most desolate places on earth. And it's one of the most interesting things about Midian is if you guys remember a little bit of history, after the 1967 war, Israel captured the whole area. And after they made peace, it was the first thing they gave away. They didn't give away the West Bank. They didn't give away the Golan Heights. Those were good. Now they gave that away. Get it away. They didn't want it. And it still is a desolate place. No one really lives there. But God had to work out the flesh of Moses. This mighty prince, God had to work it out. And what's interesting is, and again, I'll let you read this in your own time, is God then had to let Moses be a shepherd. And if you look at this, I love what Pastor Calvin shared today about knowing a little bit about the history and the culture is important. And in the day, going from a prince to a shepherd was like going from the highest to the lowest. In the Egyptian eyes, in the eyes of the flesh, it's like he went from a CEO to the lowest person cleaning bathrooms, wherever you can say. He went to the lowest, and God does that. God has to humble his people before he can use us. And I'll go into my own testimony a little bit later. So here we have Moses going from a prince to a shepherd in the desert, in the middle of nowhere. And in the book of Acts, it actually says he was there for 40 years. He was 40 years old. You know, most of us, I can remember when I was 40 years old. It wasn't that long ago. There's still some life in a 40-year-old. But when you're 80 years old, it starts to go. And the Lord had to do that. The Lord had to empty Moses out of his flesh. And picking up in the end of chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came out to God because of their bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them." So this goes back, and one of the things that I've learned about, and I'll use the word assignment, because getting into the words calling and chosen, and that's a huge study. That's a study that takes months and months and months. But when God gives an assignment, it's for a purpose, and it's relevant. And here we had the deliverance of God's people. That was an assignment. And so picking up verse 1 of chapter 3. So here, after 40 years of being the lowest person in the eyes of an Egyptian, Moses, and it picks up verse 1, says, "And now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he looked aside, so they turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" And we all know this. This is the famous burning bush, and most of us understand this as a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the angel of the Lord in fire, His glory, and he saw Jesus Christ face to face. In verse five. "Then he said," this is God, Jesus Christ, "then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And I'm going to stop there. One of the things I want to point out, and I've seen this, and I've read through recently the, I want to say, the assignment that Apostle Paul got, the assignment that Jeremiah got, the assignment that Isaiah got. There's a lot of similarities. And what's interesting is, again, it's relevant. There is immediate, the assignment is needed. And the first thing is it's holy. And that's the one thing that is so important. Ministers of God, what you're doing is not just good. It's beyond that. It's holy. And it's there's power there. And there's responsibility there. I just tingle when I think about what I'm doing is holy. And here God says, take off your sandals. Reverence God of heaven. What you're about to hear is holy. The dirt under your feet is holy. And he says in verse, putting it together. First is your assignment is holy. And the other part is your assignment. You'll receive your assignment when God has sufficiently humbled you. And one of the things I learned about Moses, it took 40 years for him in the desert. Everyone has their different schedule. Paul, it happened at a snap of the fingers where he was blinded. He was basically taken from a strong man in the flesh, and God said, enough. And he was humbled. And the next part is your calling is holy. And I found this verse in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They are holy, and once you got them, no one can take them away from you. And that's another important thing to know is when you receive a calling, it's not your neighbor's calling, and it is not your mom or dad's calling, not someone else's calling. It's yours, and it's holy. It is special. And here we have Moses face to face. And then the other part is verse 6 says, moreover, God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And it's a calling of authority. Those names, the names of God, of who we are, have authority. It's like if I go and I knock on the door of the White House and say, hi, my name's Ramon, and I'd really like to meet Barack and Michelle, have coffee with them. Well, guess what? I don't have authority. They're not going to let me in. But if I come and I happen to be his brother, guess what? The doors will open. And that's one thing I've learned about. If you receive a calling and it's of God, there's power. There's authority to open doors. And here we have, and it says, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He acknowledged, this is the God of heaven. This isn't a burning bush. This is the God Almighty. He has my hand and my life in the palm of his hand. And there's reverence there. He's humbled and he's reverenced. Okay, go on to verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And one thing you see here is God is relevant. He knows about all this suffering. I hear so many non-believers go up to me and say, Ramon, how can God exist? There's so much suffering. Yeah. That's why God died on the cross, to deliver us. And that's why God gives people's ministry, to reach people, to pull them out of the burning hell that people are in because of sin. God is relevant. And he and you look at the other part of verse 8, he's not just wanting to deliver us, he's wanting to bless us. And I shared this last night in Mexico in the rehab. He's not just a God of salvation. He's more than that. He is a Father who wants to bless us. And he wants to take us into that good and large land, a land flowing of milk and honey. And he wants to treat us as blessed children. And so the other thing about the call of Moses, it was specific. It wasn't just, go save my people. No, he says, no, you're to save them from these people and you're to bring them here. And when I look at you know, leading people to Christ, yeah, the Bible says we are to. But also the word says you are to make disciples. Not just make converts, but make disciples. Get them into the kingdom and get them growing as disciples, functioning, loving the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have God's call. It's very specific. And here we have, picking up in verse 9, it says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Again, very specific, very direct. And verse 11, this is where, and this is not, what I'm going to say is, this is not a criticism, but this is the reality. The flesh is weak. We all know this flesh is weak. And when we get the calling, sometimes there are doubts. And I just love this passage because God deals with it. When we have our doubts, yeah, we're going to have our doubts. We're going to have our weaknesses, but God's going to take care of them. And it's just the greatness of who he is. Verse 10 said, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said, and every time you see the word but, it means, well, I don't know if I can agree with that. But means it's a negative word. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Okay, one of the things that we need to acknowledge in the word again is the authority of his name. And it's okay to say, I don't have authority to go do ministry. If I were to wake up one morning and say, I'm going to go minister in Mexico, I have no authority unless God gives it to me. And here it says, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers, I got ahead of myself, verse 12. And he said, I will certainly be with you. That's enough. Wow. You know what is interesting is I read that in when Joshua got his call. I am with you. I am with you. You could have the whole U.S. Army behind you, the whole Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, but this is mighty. God says, I am with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. That's the other thing the Lord does. The Lord backs up his I am with you with proof. This is a prophecy. This is a confirmation. Okay, it was a little in the future, and the Lord knows, well, sometimes we need a little bit more than that, and he'll give it to them. But so he gave them, he is with you. And ministers of God, if you step out in your calling, he's with you. And one thing I've learned is the enemy uses fear. But when God is with you, I think it was Pastor Calvin or Pastor Barbara shared about the guy who had trouble sleeping and he dreamed that someone said, well, just remember, Jesus is right there with you in that seat. And it's even more than that. He is with us. He's that big dad right behind us. We don't have to fear when we face, you know, the enemy. He is with us. And also, he gives us prophecy. He gives us an acknowledgement. You will serve God on this mountain. Verse 13 says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Okay, that's the authority. God's name has authority. And this is the valid question. This is not Moses wimping out. This is the valid question. What will I say? And this is what we're to say when God has directed us. Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. That's enough. That's his word. That's who he is. He is the great I am. Verse 15, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So in what authority are we to go out? In his name, when we receive it. When we are humbled and God is ready to use us and he calls, gives us an assignment, and we go in his name. That is his authority, his name. At verse 16, and this is the Lord speaking to Moses, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites, to a land flowing of milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord your God.'" God's given him instructions. And one of the things you know, when God gives you instructions, and you have his authority, you have an open door. You have an open door. You don't need to kick a door down. God is already open. And when he gives you instructions, you don't need a backup plan. There is no plan B needed. You have plan A. Go do it. And verse 19 says, "But I am sure," this is God speaking to Moses, "but I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask her neighbor, namely to her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians." And one of the things you see here is the flesh is not to serve the spirit. I'm sorry, that is correct. I got it backwards. The spirit is not to serve flesh. The flesh is to serve the spirit. And here we have an exact, from the Word of God, the flesh is to serve the Spirit. And God gave basically instruction. He gave what is going to happen. He told Moses exactly what you are to do. And here, and he gives the confidence. You're not just, a lot of people, I hear it, and I'm ashamed to say, it happens a lot of ministry, is I hear people say, "We could do it if we only had the money." And God has everything. God has everything. And I love the teaching we've received from Pastor Calvin and Pastor Barbara about receiving, about the gift. God is waiting. He is waiting to bless his children. And the flesh will serve the Spirit. When you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, the flesh will serve the Spirit. And here we have the example. And we also heard of, I won't even call them doubts. Moses had valid questions. By what authority? Okay. God answered, by what authority? And God even went further than that and said, "Here's my authority and here's how it's going to happen." And I can tell you, and I'll get a little bit, this a little bit later. In my testimony, it's exactly that way. And let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. Excuse me. And it says, "Then Moses answered and said, 'But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you.' So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And God said, 'Cast it to the ground.' So he cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Then that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said, 'Now put your hand in your bosom.' And he took his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, 'Put your hand in your bosom again.' So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, and nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign." These are amazing miracles. The other thing the Lord does is he substantiates his workers. And the Lord said it when he's in the Great Commission. You will have power. And I can't explain it, but I know it's real. He will give supernatural power to his servants in his work. And we hear testimonies from you guys all the time. He does give power. And what's interesting is, let me go on to verse 8. It says, then it will be that if they do not believe you nor heed the message of the first sign, that they shall believe the message of the latter. Verse 9, and it shall be if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. And we know that's the first plague that Moses, that the Lord, through the hand of Moses, put on Egypt. So here we have these two amazing miracles. No one can refute those. And Moses said, and if they don't even believe that, wait till they see the hand of God against Egypt. And one of the things that is confirmation in a ministry is when you see one of these manifestations of God, it just blows you away because it's real. And it not only does happen, it should happen. And the Lord does that to help it to confirm, because again, this flesh wants to climb out of it, wants to gain control again. So here we have in verse, so here God has given him authority, he's given him signs and wonders. And then in verse 10 he says, and again, the flesh of Moses is starting to creep out. And this is where, as servants of God, we need to be careful. We need to make sure that flesh is under the dominion of the Spirit. Verse 10 says, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, and I love this, who has made man's tongue, man's mouth? Or who has made the mute, the deaf, and the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So the flesh throws out the excuses. So he received authority, he received signs and wonders, and he received prophecy. Now he's throwing out the flesh, but I don't talk real well. And the Lord says, I'm going to take care of that. And I love this verse 12 says, now therefore go, and I will be your mouth, and teach you what you will say. That's who he is. When God has an assignment, there's no excuse slip. He's going to take care of these things. Verse 13 says, and then he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. I want to point out this now is disobedience. So here we have okay, Lord, by what authority am I going out? And how am I going to prove this? Okay, these are logical. Now the flesh is starting to come out. Well, I don't talk real well. So the excuses. Now here is flat out disobedience, where he says, oh Lord, please send another. It's what he's saying. He's really saying, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Send someone else. And look at the Lord's response. Verse 14 said, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Wow. We don't want to hear that. None of us want to be there, but the anger of the Lord is kindled against us. So I love this. Thank you, Lord, that it's Moses. I'm glad I did not hear or feel that from the Lord when on my calling. So here it says, and again, the Lord is there to take away whatever it takes for his work to be done. And it says, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So the Lord just took that little excuse, and he said, who am I? I made your mouth. Oh, and by the way, you want someone else? Okay, now Aaron, your brother, is going to receive part of your blessing because he's going to be there alongside you. And you know, when I look at this, and again, I'll give a little testimony a little later, is the Lord wants to bless his people. And when he gives you a ministry, it's not a burden. It's a blessing. And okay, sometimes he does give you a worker to help, and sometimes that is needed. But in this case, Moses, he just forfeited some of his blessing to his brother. So again, his excuse and his disobedience, and then the anger of the Lord. And I love this quote in James. I'm going to read this because this is I taught this in a prison. But let But let him ask in faith with not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. When he gives us instruction, when it comes from the Lord, there's no reason to doubt. And it's actually a sin. And I don't want to be like a wave tossed around. I don't want to be, you know, the blind guy, you know, spun around and slapped around and cast about by all circumstances. And he doesn't, nor does he expect that. He gives us what we need. And here we have, I'll skip ahead because of the sake of time. So here we have everything taken away, all the obstacles taken away. And then Moses goes back. He puts his house in order. He goes, does what he needs to do. There's a little issue that he has to take care of. And then I'm going to pick up in verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness. This is Moses' brother, Aaron. Go into the wilderness and meet Moses. So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So he embraced him, acknowledged him as his brother. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord that who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. So he shared his authority, the prophecy, the signs and wonders. Verse 29 says, then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, just like God told them to do. And what's interesting is verse 30. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoke to Moses. Then he did all the signs in the sight of the people. And I love 31, verse 31. So the people believed. You know what's so funny is the flesh comes up with all these things. Well, what if? Well, what if? Well, what if? And the reality is, almost those what ifs never happen. Never happen. The Lord gave him the authority, gave him the prophecy, gave him the sign. That was enough. The people believed. Boom, right there. That's plain and simple. And in the Greek, it's like they believed in an instant. That was enough. And here it says, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. And one of the things I found out too, and I just love this, in ministry, really the fruit of the ministry is when you see people bow their knees to the Lord. When you see the people just cry out to Jesus and give their heart to them. When you see people worship him, I just can't, the joy in my heart when I see that, it's just beautiful. So here the Lord gave Moses, and I'll use the word assignment, and the natural flesh came out. The Lord took all these things away, and in the end, the people bowed and worshiped. And it's just beautiful. And you can go through, there's a lot of different other callings or assignments given in the Word of God. But what is beautiful is the end goal is God wants to see his people worshiping, praising him, honoring him. And that's why we serve. And it's just beautiful. And we also know that, and we go through, there probably never has been a man in history like Moses. If you look at the greatest people on earth, who has done what he has done? And God did it. God did it. He just showed up. He did what God told him to do, and he saw the blessing. The people entered the promised land. The promised land, discipleship. When people become disciples, man, there's no better place to be. They're praising God. They're living victoriously. They're not going back to sin. It's just beautiful. And now, I don't know if I have enough time. Do I have 10 minutes? Okay. I want to share a little bit about my own testimony, real short, because one thing I learned is the Word of God, you're going to remember the Word of God a week from now. You won't really remember my testimony, but I do have to share this just because it agrees with the Word of God. And when I see agreement, there is power. And I can give you, so my real quick testimony, and it's very specific. I first entered the prison as a minister of God 6 years ago. And I was baptized with the Holy Spirit a month before because I knew I was not going in the prison without being baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I went with a man who, him and his wife had been doing it for 20-something years. And my very first time, and I don't, if any of you have visited a prison, the first thing you will never remember is when that door goes bang behind you and you realize I'm in with them. And it's scary. And the first time I visited the prison, a chaplain who I later befriended came up to me, and he shared the first thing. I don't know why he did this. I think he did it to scare me. He shared with me about a gang fight they had where five guys beat up one guy. And I was like, okay, thank you. If I wasn't scared coming in, I sure am now. But I knew that the Lord had brought me there. So the feelings of the tinglings, they went away pretty quickly. I realized, no, God has called me here. I'm to be here. And I don't care how big, bad these people are. God has called me here. So after that, I went 2 more years. And I would minister. I learned to speak Spanish. That's kind of my joke I share with people. I learned Spanish in prison. I self-taught myself Spanish. I could do little sermonettes. I could do communion. I couldn't really do a whole lot, but I did. I served with my friend and his wife. And 2 years into this ministry, one of the young guys my age, came up to me. He says, "We want a Bible study, a midweek Bible study." And he was bilingual. So I first said, "Eduardo, you want a Bible study in English?" He said, "No, in Spanish." I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I can do that." And it was amazing because it sounded just like Moses. "I don't know. I don't speak real well." So he goes, "We'll help you." And then I said, "Well, you know, I don't do ministry without my brothers." And he said, "Well, aren't we your brothers?" I was like, "Okay, check. That was just getting... And then I said, "Well, I got to ask the chaplain." And the chaplain goes, "Oh, what day do you want?" Okay, so the authority, I got that too. And it was one of the most blessed ministries I ever had in my life. I served there 1 year. I taught a men's Bible study once a week. I went through the book of Galatians, book of James, book of Nehemiah, book of Ezra. We had believers' meetings. I saw a moving of the Holy Spirit that I'd never seen before. And it was one of those blessed times of my life. And I just look at it's the exact same pattern Moses went through. And I thank God that I didn't have to go through the disobedience. I did show up. And the Lord just took care of everything. And the other thing I've learned too, and just real short, because I see time is after I did that ministry, almost exactly a year later, the Lord gave me my ministry I now have in Mexico. And it was actually, it was supernatural, where I was in, I received two dreams in the middle of the night. And one of the things that's interesting, I learned Spanish, but my dreams were in Spanish. And they say, if you dream in Spanish, it must mean something. So I had these dreams in Spanish where the Lord said, "You're to go to meet this person," and a person I only met one time in Mexico, "and you're to go serve." And I did. We showed up, and the Lord has given us a ministry. For those that know, my ministry is to those who, the outcasts, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, those who are incarcerated, the orphans, people that no one else is going to. And the Lord has blessed it. And we're now seeing after this time of obedience, we know there's another door going to be opened up. I don't know what it is, but I know it's going to be great. It's going to be for His glory. People are going to be coming into the kingdom of God. And it's not by me, but it's by Him. And I'm here to give this, I wanted to give this as edification to God's people, because God can and will and does give ministries when we're ready, when we're humbled, and He will do whatever it takes. And the flesh doesn't even need to show up. And the flesh will serve the Spirit. And I see that in the life of Moses, and I can tell you in agreement that my testimony almost reflects exactly the same thing. And it's just amazing how God has fashioned this word of His that we don't need, and we don't need a DVD on how to do ministry. We have the book. We have the word, the revelation from the Lord. And I just want to close in prayer if I can. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your anointing. We thank You for Your calling. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your greatness. We thank You for empowering us to do Your work, to sharing your authority, Lord Jesus, that we can proclaim you as Lord, and we can go out in your protection, in your guidance, in your direction. And Jesus, I just ask an anointing, a blessing upon everyone in this body of Faith Ministries. I just ask you to continue to pour out your spirit upon all the servants here. I ask you, Lord Jesus, continue to bring us into where you want us to be, that we can gather souls into your kingdom. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege you've given us of ministry. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for being our Father, and we just praise your holy name. And it's in your name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ramon. That was beautiful. Well, I got a lot out of that. And one of the things I got out of that is that we can't base our future on our past. Moses looked at his own track record and said, I tried the deliverance thing once and I really got in big trouble. I ended up being exiled and running for my life with a price on my head. Lost everything and everyone I'd ever known or had dear to, was dear to me. And you know, he's looking at the past, his own track record. He was a failure. We can't do that. We can't look at the past or our own failing track record. Just do what God says now. He knows the future. It's just beautiful. There's just so much to be said about all this. It's just so awesome. I've got one here that says, it's God's business to choose his special instruments. And when we're persuaded that we are in line with his purpose, we have no right to question his wisdom or his appointment. To question his wisdom is to depreciate his wisdom and doubt his power and willingness to become all that is necessary to complete our need. We've all done what Moses has done, one way or the other. You know, Moses repeatedly says, Lord, you know, I can't do this. Repeatedly, Lord, you know, you're doing the wrong thing here. It's not me. I'm not the one you're looking for. And it's like, I've said that. I've said that recently. Even recently, you know, the Lord's placed certain things before me. And I can remember just even a few days ago, I was looking at my past. The Lord was talking to me about my future, and I kept looking at my past. And I said, Lord, I'm not the one. I'm not the man for the job. I've said that. And I repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I should not have said what I did. When I said that, I was doubting God's ability and his wisdom. I was doubting. He's the only one that knows best for my future. How dare I question him on his decision? I'm sorry, Lord. Talk about stupid. I don't know. Maybe everybody else has a clear path before them, but sometimes I do the stupidest things. And we all have a future, and we should be excited about the fact that God is leading us into it. We have a future, Eric. We have a future, and God is leading us into it. We cannot fail as long as we're following him. It's impossible to fail in anything that God is leading us into. He doesn't lead people into failure. Hello? He doesn't lead people into failure. People lead themselves into failure. But God never leads anyone into failure. I'm going to follow God. How about you? I needed that. This is good stuff. Thank you, Ramon. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I had an announcement and I forgot what it was. Do you remember what it was? Maybe I should look at my note. This announcement doesn't pertain to most of you. Oh, did you see the new message boards that are up on the south side over here? Experiencing God's presence, teaching God's word, transforming families or community in the world, showing God's love, living God's presence. Denise and Jasmine are doing this lettering, and Peter's preparing all the boards, doing Peter and Eric and Mitch and different ones have done the cutting boards and painting boards, preparing boards. But anyway, I'm impressed. That is beautiful work. beautiful work. And we've got some more that they're working on in the dining room that'll be going on up over here. And so praise the Lord. It's just, I've wanted for many years, I'm telling you, many years, I've wanted something on these spaces. And I have talked to numerous people over the years. In the last 15 years, I've talked to, I don't know how many people, I've talked to artists that knew how to paint, about doing murals on these places. I've just, and nothing has gelled, nothing has worked, and all of a sudden, here it is, it's working. God's time, and God's got the right people on it, and it's just, I'm just so excited that it's working. And praise the Lord for that. So look forward to good things to continue happening. For those that, I don't think anybody here, unless it be Ramon and Melissa, that would be interested in this, but on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's going to be special meetings in Kumpis, and they're going to be very, very good and very, very special. Some very powerful people coming to minister from both Mexico and even one from Guatemala and one from Canada. There will be some powerful ministries visit Kumpis this weekend. It's going to be some powerful, powerful meetings, and the Lord's leading them into a theme of powerful miracles, miraculous things happening. So looking forward to that. Well, we're, you know, some of us can't go, some can, I suppose. But anyway, praise the Lord. Sunday morning, please pay attention to what the confession we made at the end of praise and worship. We listen to the Holy Spirit and his instruction, and we'll be watching for someone to minister to. And if we'll do that between now and Sunday, we'll help get someone saved, healed, delivered, whatever they need. And we might even get somebody to church. You know, when you're ministering to somebody and they're receiving your ministry, it's a good time to follow up with, let me take you to church Sunday. I'll come pick you up if you don't have a car. I mean, it's just get them in church and get them founded in the Word. So watch for opportunities. If we watch for them, they'll be there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, you guys can be dismissed, and our kiddos will be out of their classes anytime. So have a great, great week. Thanks again, Ramon. By the way, they are connected to a tax-exempt ministry, and a good ministry. And if you ever want to help them in what they're doing in Mexico, I'm sure they accept cash checks, money orders, you know, pesos, dollars, French francs, and euros, bitcoins. Bitcoins is coming on the big thing now. So, you know, just whatever your money is, just feel free to put it into their ministry as seed, and you'll be glad you did. God bless you. Have a great week.